push through the creative block and just make something. Because sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to start, because you just don't know.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the awesome story behind your passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. Enjoy this week's episode.
All right, well, I'm stoked about having this dude on the podcast. Good friend of mine, Ray Moss. We met a couple years ago at Creative Self, and then we met up again at Creative Self, and we kind of kicked it off. So welcome, Ray, the lettering experimental king.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Well, dude, let's kick it off. How did this design journey start for you? What age? When did you know that this was going to be my thing?
Okay. Well, so I've always kind of been into art, like during, in school, I was always kind of just having the most fun during my art classes. And, while I was okay with, my other academics, art was just always kind of where I enjoyed spending most of my time. I wasn't even necessarily really good at art or anything. I don't claim that. I'd always be like, drawing in school. And I remember, when I used to visit my grandma, me and my sisters would always be, you know, if we weren't outside playing, we'd be drawing. Or, you know, just kind of doodling around. Always been into art. And then when it came time for college, all my friends were going to school for graphic design. And I just kind of, like, jumped on ship with that.
So how did the lettering journey start? How did you transition from just being a graphic designer to just lettering?
Mm-hmm. Okay. After college, I got an internship and eventually a job at a branding company in New York. And so I was working on package design and kind of got introduced to like logos and seeing how lettering and typography was used in package design. And I remember seeing, like, we'd be trying to get inspiration for new projects and hopping onto the Dyeline. It's, like, a great website for some of the best packaging design. Mm. And just seeing how, like, there were, some of the best... The types of projects that I was most, attracted to were projects that had custom illustration and custom lettering. And those were what really kind of stood out to me. So I kind of, started digging into that a little bit. And when I was out there, I was able to take a few lettering workshops with Ken Barber. Ooh. And that was, so he's incredible. And it was really cool to, see his process and, learn from there. So that was definitely...
That's pretty epic, man. That's pretty epic. How do you spell that website that you said you got the that you used to go to for?
The Dyeline. Yeah, the Dyeline. So the Dyeline.
Okay, I
got it. And yeah, man, it's just got a lot of really great inspiration for packaging and. Like award-winning design and stuff. So
you were in New York. How was that experience?
It was good and also kind of like exhausting. Yeah. So it was a huge change for me, man. It was like I grew up in little Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Just this little little city. Moved. And so moving out to a big city like New York was definitely a bit of culture shock, but there are a lot of good, a lot of great things to say about New York.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's cool, because that's where I grew up, so I really enjoy New York. I was just kind of tired of the cold.
Yeah, that's right. You're in Georgia, so
yeah.
You got nice warm weather down there.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, right. It does get rough here in Wisconsin, but you just gotta bundle up a little bit. Yeah.
So during this journey, like, what was like the hardest part in trying to grow and just being able to grow? What would you say was the hardest part?
So it's something that I'm still struggling with today. It's just, you know, what do I want to do, really want to do, and where do I want to focus all my time?
Right.
And, you know, what do you focus on? And that's kind of like, yeah, one of the biggest struggles for me.
That's probably the biggest struggle for almost all designers, because there's always something else you catches your attention that you want to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where, like, I've been, kind of dipping my toes into different parts of design, like, and paint, like, sign painting and gold leaf, and just trying out all these different things. Maybe, I don't know what it is, maybe it's, like, the shiny object syndrome. I'm so distracted by there's so many different things. So that's what I'm struggling with, and something that I'm thinking about, like, every day. And
so how did the workshop opportunity get started?
Oh, okay. That was kind of like it was in the works. I took a calligraphy and lettering workshop in New York with Jackson Alves. He's a really great calligrapher and lettering artist from Brazil. And I was just super inspired by what he was doing, and thought that that was, like, super cool that you could, teach people how to do lettering and calligraphy. And so he just really inspired me. And he, talking to him after the workshop, he even told me, he was like, man, if you start to teach, you're going to get so much better. Because, all the various reasons. But that was something that I kind of took to heart and thought, okay, well, if I do want that, that's definitely the goal. I want to be, I want to learn and get better at the craft. So started putting in the time practicing, I guess, and kind of using design skills to put together worksheets. And but eventually I to get the I didn't, since I've never done a workshop,
right,
or I had never done a workshop, I just didn't really know how to go about it, where should I rent out a place, I don't know. I just didn't really have all the hospitality stuff down. So I think, so anyway, what happened was I wound up reaching out to a local creative organization called 1-1000 in Madison, Wisconsin. And the owner, Sarah, I scheduled a meeting to just kind of talk to her, because 1-1000 offers creative workshops and whatnot. Cool. So I set up a little meeting with her to discuss, if there would ever be an opportunity to teach.
That's cool.
Yeah. So just kind of like brought her the packet that I had designed with the. And at that time, they were still pretty rudimentary. Like, I don't know, but I've taught the workshop maybe like 4 times now, and each time I edit it, and because I keep getting better and realizing different things, and but yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. I mean, I've always like wanted to do a workshop, but just never, my issue was probably more time, just never got around to putting the material together. I feel like that takes up probably most of the time, just putting the material together.
It does, yeah, man. That was, like, I spent, I wasn't working on it full time, but off and on, it almost took a year to kind of, like, wrap my head around exactly, designing it and refining it and getting it to the point where I was comfortable, like, reaching out to Sarah at the company just to...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it took a while, there's definitely a lot of planning that goes into it.
So, during this process, I mean, I know you're doing a lot, man, and just to hear you say that you're still trying to learn is crazy to me, because I feel like seeing your work, like, it's crazy. So, I mean, that means I got a lot of work to do. So, but... During this process, who would you say was your support system? Who did you draw energy from? Because I know sometimes being a designer can be very lonely, and it's just mm-hmm. you. Who do you draw support from? Like, you know, who's your support system?
Yeah. So, honestly, I am a little bit of a homebody, but I do have... First of all is my family. Right now, I'm actually living with my parents while I'm kind of figuring out my next move. So being able to quit my job and move back with my parents and have them support me has been, you know, I definitely couldn't have made the leap without them. So that's huge.
All right.
But yeah, it's good to be around family too. I've got both of my older sisters live around this area, and I've got two nieces, so it's cool to see them. Nice. And I've got a couple of close friends that I still keep in touch with, and we play music and just kind of jam out. So
yeah, I think you would tell me about that at one time.
Yeah.
So what's the next plan? What's next for Ray?
So it's kind of crazy. Actually, last night I was at a 1-1000 meeting. It's a member meetup that people just members from the organization just get together, have a beer or whatever, and just talk and get to meet each other. And this is actually the first time that I really that I got to participate in one. So it was cool getting to meet other creative.
That's cool.
People.
I wish something like that exists. If it does, I don't know where it is in Georgia right now.
Yeah, man, it's really, yeah. I really thank Sarah, the owner of this company, for putting it together, because it's true. That's what she was saying too. That's why she started the company, is because she didn't, when she moved to Madison, she was just questioning. She's like, where are all the artists? Like, where's the community? And she didn't really see that. Mm. So that was kind of her business.
Nice.
Yeah.
Going forward, like, what do you see, like, happening? I know you had started the sign painting thing. The sign painting, and you kind of put that out there that you're ready to do sign paints, which you've been doing a phenomenal job. Is that, like, the next thing for you to kind of, like, be a sign painter?
You know what? That's, like, that's definitely been part of, a goal that I set a while back, but I think I'm kind of slowly working towards it. Kind of learning all the different skills. Not sure exactly where my career is going.
Right.
But possibly starting some sort of sign company that where I could also offer lettering, you know, like commercial lettering and for like logos and advertising, but also traditional sign painting. But recently, I'm kind of getting into window painting. So that's what I was actually just talking to the people at the member meetup last night was, you know, that's something that I'm actually, I could see myself spending a bit more time doing that. Because it's, I don't know, it's a nice amalgamation of, I can use my calligraphy and lettering skills for, you know, for the lettering on a window sign. And then using kind of the painting techniques that I learned from sign painting and, you know, kind of in design principles for like designing the composition. And so I kind of see a lot of, there could be, potential in that direction as well.
Yeah. Cause I seen the one, I don't know if it was like a Christmas, window painting you did. Was it for Christmas or Christmas season? Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, what was it? Well, I did a 4th of July one.
Was it 4th of July? No, it not may the 4th. No, nah, not the 4th of July, because I remember that was the one with the rocket. I remember the 4th of July one, but there was one that where you did like a ribbon. Is it? Maybe it wasn't Christmas, but it looked
just recently. There was like it was actually just a celebration.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, like it was a 10-year anniversary.
Right.
My cheese wrapped up in this ribbon. And
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
So, what advice would you have for creatives that's trying to grow their audience? You know, that they could be able to do something with it. Could be mental. Could be like mindset advice or tactical advice.
So for growing an audience, it's definitely about, you know, being pretty consistent with posting work onto whatever platform you're doing, and kind of participating in some of the design like challenges that might be going on, mm-hmm. like some things like the 36 days of type. Mm-hmm. That was something where I really gained a lot of attention from just consistently, you know, posting. You know, I was doing sign painting, just one letter at a time, and I think when you do something like that, people kind of see what you're doing, and then come to expect like maybe they're looking forward to the next one or something. So. Even it, like you don't have to put or work on your art every single day. There may be some days that you take off and you're hanging out with family or friends. But if you can kind of start to be a little bit more consistent with your art practice, mm-hmm. then you build up momentum and you kind of come up with you're starting to come up with more ideas more regularly, and you're kind of building up a routine and building that into your creative.
I like that 36 day idea though, because it kind of I just had it. It kind of helps you to kind of one have something to do like next, because sometimes you know. Just coming mm-hmm. out of trying to pick something, a pie out of the sky. Sometimes you kind of run out of inspiration and stuff like that. But when you join these challenges, or even like the Good Type Tuesday or stuff mm-hmm. like that, these things kind of when they have some kind of criteria to it, kind of helps you to have something. You don't even really got to think about necessarily what you're gonna draw, but how you're gonna draw it.
Right. Yeah. It's nice to have. It is nice to have a little prompt of what's a direction for you to go in. And actually something like the 36 days of type doing work, you know, something every single day for 36 days in a row is It's a challenge. Yeah. But it's nothing like, I mean, it's totally manageable.
Right.
Compared to, like, some people do, you know, the 365-day challenge.
Yeah.
I tried that, and I failed.
It sounds so easy, like, just by saying it, oh, I could do one drawing every day. But you get started, man, there's always something. Always something that's getting in the way. You gotta literally like cut stuff out to literally stick to it.
Yeah, but even if I do kind of recommend maybe trying to do something like that, or at least the 36 days, because the thing is, what I've found from attempting to do the 365 day challenge was I stopped after, I think it was like 120 days or something, I gave up. But it was just the moment, you build up that momentum. Yeah. And then the thing is, even though I'm not making something every single day, maybe I'm making things 3 or 4 times out of the week.
Right.
And that's better than 2 times.
Which is true.
Yeah. So I think it's part of, a project like that can help motivate you to kind of push through the creative block and just make something. Because sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to start, because you just don't know.
Yeah, that is the hardest thing a lot of times, is just getting to start. But I really appreciate the time, man. We definitely have to do this even outside of the podcast. We got to catch up sometimes before Creative South comes around. But thanks again. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your advice. Thank you for just kind of sharing your story with the podcast, man. You know I'm in your corner. You know I got your back. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, man. Likewise. Thanks, dude.
All right, man. Enjoy the rest of your night, my brother.
All right. You too, man.
Take care.
Cheers.
You can always connect with me. DP Creates on Instagram or Twitter. If you ever want to have a conversation, ask a question, that's DP Creates at Instagram or Twitter. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I would love to get your feedback, so please leave a review on iTunes and keep sharing the podcast on social media. Be blessed.